Praise the name of the Lord. We want to welcome all of you. What a joy it is to have you with us today. Friends, you don't have to be fearful in coming to church. I know a lot of people are struggling with this, and I can understand that. But we take a lot of precautions. We have special cleansing for COVID, sanitizing. Like we do this professionally. There's nothing to fear from a natural perspective. And spiritually, our trust is in God. God will keep us. God will protect us. And we want to come on out and worship the Lord together. There's nothing greater than when God's people come together and worship. Nothing greater than that. Amen? Mark chapter 10 this morning. We'll begin at verse number 46, I believe. Mark chapter 10. I've entitled this message, The Cry That Stopped God. The Cry That Stopped God. Oh, wow. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, underscore that, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. Very familiar portion of scripture, and I've preached on this before, but there's new insights that I want to share with you that I have not preached in the past. And today, I want to be able to bring out something fresh that I believe will challenge you and encourage you. Now, as we begin by way of introduction, we notice this particular man who's blind. And he's brought to a specific, particular place by the highway. And someone brought him there, and the Bible tells us he sat there. It was called the Jericho Way or the Jericho Path. And it was a place that was very well known, the Jericho Road, a place of business, place of commerce, a place where there's a lot of action. But there was also a place of crime. But the point is, it was a strategic place that this blind man went to daily by the highway, and there he was day after day begging. He sat right at a place where there was a lot of opportunity, shaking and holding his cup, expecting to receive. There he was making his living by the benevolence of others as he sat day by day begging for money so he can survive. But watch this. It had become a system for Bartimaeus. And I want to focus in on this concept of system. It became a routine for Bartimaeus. You see, there's a reason why panhandlers go to certain places. They go to certain places where there's a lot of activity, corners, street corners, red lights, restaurants, intersections. Maybe you've seen them. I know here in Mississauga, off the 403, there are many times that we would get off the highway and you'd see people begging right there on the corner. There's a reason why people do that, because there's a lot of action. There's a lot of opportunity. Opportunity is always built on accessibility. And if you're not accessible, then you can't lose that opportunity because it might not come. So you need to be in a place where there's a lot of action. And so every day he sat by the highway, just like we've read in Acts 3, that man that was lame who sat where by the gate called Beautiful, Solomon's Porch, and there he was begging day after day, a place of opportunity. It seemed that there was a lot of action, and of course there was. And that was good, because there's opportunity where there's action. And I'm told that blind people survive because they are used to the familiar. And so if you're at home and you want to get somewhere and you're blind, you know exactly how many steps it would take to get there. You've become accustomed to that. You know exactly how long it would take and where there's a corner and where there's a couch. And so you've been able to assess that because of routine. You've been able to assess that because you've done that over and over again. So please don't move my couch. So please don't change my furniture or move anything around, because if you do that, I'll get confused. I'll stumble. So just don't change my routine. Don't change my routine. And so here he is. Here he is at the right spot. And he sat quietly except for his begging until one day everything changed for Bartimaeus. He sat quietly shaking his cup. Didn't say very much until one day his routine changed. One day something changed forever, a disruption took place. And before we discuss this disruption, as I mentioned, I want to say something about this system of routine that I just mentioned. For it to work, there needs to be something that's familiar to you, as I mentioned. And you've survived by counting the steps. And so I've survived all these years because I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how many steps it takes. I know how long it would take. I know what time it would take. I've gone through it over and over again. I've been counting those steps. I've been in this routine. I've been in this rut so long. I know exactly how many steps it takes. Nothing fancy. No excitement. I just do it. I do this because it's my routine. Folks, how many people go to church just out of routine? How many people do whatever they do simply because it's routine? The passion's not there. The excitement's not there. But you know how many steps it takes? Because you've done it over and over again. And because you've done it over and over again, you're so used to it. Becomes part of your life, so you know what's going on, and each day it has become your normal, but you're not fulfilled in this, yet you keep doing it to survive, but you're loyal to it, even if you know it's making you sick. You're loyal to it, even though you know it's just something that you've got to do, but you're surviving. You're so set in this system, but you're surviving. And if they try to move you, then you'll get upset too. That's the amazing thing about it. Don't ever sit in my chair. Don't you know that's my chair? I've been sitting in this chair for 30 years. It's become a routine. It's become so a part of your life. And you can't imagine changing. It's almost hard to imagine that maybe I need to change. And so you keep going back and forth. You've got it all figured out. You know exactly what to do. It's been your routine, but the joy's gone. The passion's gone, but you keep doing it because that's all you know. You've been doing it all your life. All your life. You're just doing it. It's a system that's built in. Life lesson number one. Now watch this. Here's blind Bartimaeus begging every day until one day he stops begging quietly, because that's what the Bible, and he begins to shout. Something has changed. Why did Bartimaeus change? What caused Bartimaeus to change his routine? What caused Bartimaeus to get a little excited? What caused Bartimaeus to shout? All of a sudden, he begins to shout. He couldn't open his eyes, but he opened his mouth. I can't see, but I can surely scream and holler. I may not be able to see, but I still got a tongue, and I've got a mouth. Oh, my friends, something's changed. Listen, my friends, if you don't change your routine, nothing will ever change in your life. So set in your ways and you're expecting change? There'll never be change if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. What happened to Bartimaeus? Something changed. Life lesson, watch this. Listen, friends, if you're frustrated with certain things in your life and you refuse to do anything different, listen, then you will always be where you have always been. Do you think that the early disciples, did you not think that something had to change in order for them to be who they are? And it wasn't easy. And that's why some people weren't willing to follow Christ, because it would mean change. And that's why some people you know haven't come to Christ. It's not that they don't believe, they're not willing to change. And that's why some people don't want revival. Why? Because if revival comes, you'll never be the same again. And the problem is, when there's revival, there's change. And some of us are so set in our ways, we don't want to change. We're happy the way we are. Thank you very much. I know exactly how many steps. I can walk it back, forth, and front, foot. I know exactly what to do. I know how long. I know. And if you, Pastor, if you preach too long, that's out of my routine. And I don't like it. We don't like change. As I've said before, the only people that like change are babies in diapers, it seems. But change is so important. Something happened to Bartimaeus that changed his life forever. Listen, my friends. I've got to ask you, watch this now. Are there any people in this room, anybody on Facebook, so tired of the norm and of tradition and of routine that you're willing to cry out like Bartimaeus, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I need a breakthrough. Lord Jesus, I need something. I'm tired of routine. I'm tired of my life. I need a new normal." And I'm not talking about COVID living. I'm talking about a new normal in our walk with God. I've got to ask you, who's willing out there? Who's willing to do it? Now watch this now. Some of us are so well-groomed. Some of us are so refined that you can't understand this kind of behavior. How can they? Because you've got so much going on for your life. Some of you have never really been desperate. Some of you may have been in need, but you've never been in real need. So you're not crying out. You're content. You're full. What did Jesus say about that? "Woe unto them who are full." You'll be amazed how many people spiritually are content when the Bible teaches otherwise. Never be content with where you are spiritually. Hebrews 6:1 says, we got to keep pressing on from the elementary teachings of the Word. We got to keep growing in the grace of His knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Got to keep growing. But you, many of us, we reach a level and we stay put. And sometimes we don't even realize it. We're in a rut. We're in a rut. There's no desperation anymore. There's no reason to shout. You find it foolish when you see people getting a little excited who may not follow that pattern. You might think it's ridiculous that they're getting a little excited. It hasn't occurred to you that maybe something has happened in their lives. Why do you think David's wife was upset with David when he was dancing before the Lord? Here's David, the king of Israel was so excited that the ark came back. He began to dance and praise the Lord, and his wife called him a fool. How dare you behave? Let me tell you something. When Jesus is not alive in your life, and something, and you end up in routine, and all you have is the steps, and you look at somebody who's God's touched your lives, and I can guarantee you, you might say the same thing that David's wife Michal said. It's always the self-contained that criticize those who are on fire for God. Three types of Christians: the maintainers, the complainers. But the maintainers, the inhibitors, and the innovators. There's always going to be somebody that's trying to stop your shouting. There's always going to be somebody that's going to try to take your voice, try to rob you of your joy, try to put water on that fire that's burning in your life. Woe unto them who are full, Jesus said. And when you're full, you got no room. There's no room. You're content. No room for growth. Excitement's not there anymore. The passion's not there. You've got the steps each day. You know exactly what to do. Something's missing. Now watch this. Before Bartimaeus made an audible scream, before Bartimaeus shouted where they can hear him, I believe, this is just insight, I believe there was a silent scream inside of him. Let me explain. Every day he was screaming deep within his heart because of the pain. It certainly wasn't easy to be blind and to be brought each day there and have people mock you. And there you are day after day begging for your existence. Definitely he's screaming all the while he was in that corner. He's begging. Yes, he was loyal to his system, however. Loyal. But that loyalty brought frustration into his life. And I got to say something about this. If you can hear the noise that's going inside the person you're sitting beside, or you can't hear that noise because they've really put on a nice veneer, or that person that you might be working with, if you can hear the inside scream that's going on in some people that you think are full of smiles and full of joy, but inside they're screaming. It's a silent scream. Oh yeah, but you don't hear them because in front of people, oh, they've gone to obedience training. Oh yeah, they know how to contain themselves. You know, I'm in front of people. I don't want to make that. But you get them all alone when nobody's looking. Ah, and the tears and the screams begin. Bartimaeus had a silent scream before he had an audible scream. Yes, something transformed. Oh, my friend, let me say to you, Bartimaeus was frustrated. Yeah, even though he had a system built, even though he survived by this routine and he survived his blindness, but that doesn't mean he liked it. Have you ever developed a system around you that you hate, but you're just surviving, and you've developed this system and this routine, but you're protecting yourself, and nobody knows it until you're all alone? You're just coping, but you've developed a routine. You've developed a system, and nobody sees it. But when you're all alone, you're in pain. Yeah, I've talked to people who are married who've developed that system. They're in their marriage, but they're screaming inside. They're at home, but they're screaming inside. At their job, but they're screaming inside. I'm doing what I've got to do to survive. I've got to make the best out of a bad situation. I've got to cope. And so I'm just developed this routine. I've got this external veneer just to cope with my issues. And I'm doing it day after day. It's become so ritualistic. It's a routine. I know exactly what time to wake up, what time to go to bed, how many steps to take, where to go, where not to go. I've got it down pat. I've been doing it for years, and nobody has a clue that there's a silent scream inside of me. Scream. Yeah. Jesus. Before Bartimaeus screamed out loud, there was a silent scream that nobody could hear. Who am I talking to this morning? And so when Bartimaeus hears that Jesus was passing by, that silent scream became audible. Oh, there's something fresh off the press. That silent scream is now being heard. A shifting. He got excited, so he cries out, but somebody told him to be quiet. It's funny that the disciples of Jesus usually did that. They did that with the woman with the issue of blood. What dare you approach? Isn't it amazing sometimes those that tell you to keep quiet are in the church? Isn't that funny? Don't get too excited. We don't do that here. We're more refined. Oh, I forgot my tie this morning. Sorry about that. But we are so full of routine that if somebody gets excited and breaks the mold, we don't like it. We deem that person strange. No, and you know, that person might be strange. I don't want to condone emotional breakouts as if it's all from God. Some emotional breakouts and some emotional is just emotionalism. It's not the Spirit of God, and I understand that. However, there are times people express emotion and passion because something powerful is happening, and sometimes we, the refined, have tried to squash it, and we've done a great disservice, and we don't even realize. He couldn't contain himself. After all these years, something's happening here. So he starts again. They tried to shut him down, so he starts again. He starts screaming, "Son of David, Son of David." What? Son of who? Son of David? Son of David, verse number 40. Do you know that's a messianic term? Is it possible that Bartimaeus, although he was blind, had more sight than the Pharisees and even his disciples who didn't even call Jesus the Son of David? Maybe he saw something in Jesus others didn't see, yet he was blind. So maybe he wasn't that blind. How many people in the church and they still don't know Jesus as the Son of David? They don't grasp who Jesus really is. Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me. And he kept on, despite the haters, despite the critics. Listen, my friends, you've got to tell some of those haters and some of those critics at times, you haven't, see, you're trying to shut me, because you haven't gone through what I've gone through. You haven't felt and experienced the pain that I've gone through in my life. You've been going to church all your life, but you've just been going, yeah, you might know God, that's fine, but you haven't gone through the things that I've gone through. Isn't it amazing the most passionate people that you know are always the people that have gone through things? You've gone through things, you've experienced, you can't bring the fire unless you go through the fire. Bartimaeus has been in the fire all of his life. Doctors couldn't help him. Medicine couldn't help him. And so Jesus is passing by, and Bartimaeus finally sees hope after all these years. Son of David, Son of David, there's hope. I don't know how he understood. I don't think he went to Bible college. I don't think he went to the Sabbath. I'm not sure. You know, sometimes, you know, when people come to Christ or when there's, it's not always because of somebody's effort. Sometimes God just opens the eyes of people's understanding that they just know. That's what the Bible says in Acts. He opened the heart of Lydia to believe. All spiritual truth is revealed. All spiritual truth is revealed by the Spirit. That's why there are people that you might be talking to them year after year after year about God, and it goes in one ear throughout the other. They just don't grasp it. And then you talk to somebody for a few moments and they receive it. Somehow their hearts were open. God is the one who reveals. God is the one who softens the hearts. Somehow he knew. Now you'd think that Jesus' disciples would encourage him. You think that those that brought him would encourage him to cry out to Jesus, but no, no, that's not what happens. Listen, my friends, you can't afford to let other people's opinions stop you from going after what God has called you to do. Life lesson number two. You can't afford to let other people's opinions stop you from going after what God has called you to do. When I first got saved and was called to go to Bible college, I didn't know what Bible college was, but I had a godly pastor that helped me. But I had half a dozen of people telling me, what are you going to Bible college for? You don't need that. They went on and on and tell me, yeah, you just do that, and just tried to discourage me. And I had enough discouragement because I hated school, so I didn't really want to go. And I almost fell by that. Yeah, but I persevered because I knew that God wanted me to go. I knew it in my heart. My friends, it's time, I believe, for many of us to open our mouths and cry out, especially today during these days. I know COVID has kept our mouths shut, many of us. We've been discouraged. But I'll tell you something. What is God saying in this hour that causes us to cry out? We need to cry out like never before in the day in which we live in, my friend. Now watch this. This is extremely important. It seems like Jesus didn't hear Bartimaeus at first because he kept going. Because he called him again, Son of David! So it seemed that Jesus didn't hear him. But that's not the case at all. It seems that way. It seems like when we are praying that God doesn't hear us. Oh, it seems. It seems that. And so Jesus kept going. But can you imagine, my brothers and my sisters, if Bartimaeus said to himself, okay, Jesus must be too busy, so I'll keep quiet. Jesus is obviously got things to go, places to go. Maybe I'll do what my friends are telling me to do, and I'll be still and say nothing. Can you imagine if Bartimaeus felt that way or believed that? Can you imagine we wouldn't be preaching and telling this story this morning? No, my friends, many voices will come to try to discourage you from crying out to God. But I'll tell you something. If he would have listened to one of those voices, he would have missed his blessing, and we would never have heard of blind Bartimaeus. Why do you think we see in Scripture the concepts and the teachings of perseverance? Why did Jesus in Luke 18:1, and that was an illustration he used, that woman was just a story, he uses an illustration of the persistent widow who had tenacity to keep going before the judge. What would happen if she understood that when the judge said no, that would be the end of her story? But she didn't. She kept persevering. What would happen in Luke, I believe it's the 11th or 10th chapter, it talks about the friend at midnight when some friends came unaware and they came to sleep over and he didn't have any bread. And he went to his other friend's house who he knew had bread and he kept knocking at midnight. That's a late hour. That's a disturbing hour. But he kept knocking. Go away, I'm sleeping. Go away. But he kept knocking. And finally he woke up and gave bread. What is the teaching that Jesus is giving us? Perseverance. Son of David! Perseverance. I can't stop people's opinion from getting to my destiny. I can't stop people's opinion getting to my calling. I get perseverance. We see this over. What about the woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon in Matthew 15? She goes up to Jesus and speaks to him. And again, her disciples told her, be quiet, get out. Always the disciples discouraging people from getting to Jesus. But she persevered. Jesus even called her. Look, I didn't come for you. It almost seemed calloused. He uses a Gentile term called the dogs. She could have been offended and walked away, but she wasn't. If she would have been offended, she would have lost her blessing. But she persevered through the offense, through the naysayers, through the haters, the critics. She persevered. can't afford to let other people's opinions stop you from going after what God has called you to do. And what about Mark 5? One of my favorite stories. I've preached on her maybe 10, 15 times in my life. That woman with the issue of blood, nobody could help her, and she heard of Jesus passing by once again, and she fought the crowds, and she fought everything she can imagine, and there were the naysayers and the critics trying to stop her, but she couldn't, and she finally touched the hem of his garment, and we know the story. She fought the critics, she fought circumstances, she fought her sickness, she fought tradition, she fought religion, she fought everything, but she had to get to Jesus. Friends, this is what's wrong with us today. If it doesn't work the first time, we give up. We just give up. Where's that tenacity today? My biggest dream, my biggest passion, I've been praying for 30 years. I haven't really seen it yet. I've seen glimmers of it, but I haven't stopped. I can't stop. I just can't. Though the vision tarry, wait for it, for it shall surely. Gotta keeping on. We want it yesterday. If it doesn't come yesterday, if it doesn't come tomorrow, then I'm just gonna fade away. What's ever happened to that incredible scripture found in James 5:16? The effectual fervent speaks of fire, speaks of hot, white fire. You know the white flame of the fire is the hottest part? That's what it means. The effectual hot, white, like hot fire that's in the depths, in the middle of that flame. That hot flame, the effectual fervent flame of a righteous man availeth much. That prayer, that fiery prayer, that's passionate and you effectual fervent. It's fervent. It's fervent. It's consistent. It keeps praying. I know what the haters say. I know what the naysayer, but I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, I know what your disciples are saying, but I've been blind too long. Who am I speaking to today? People on Facebook listening. Some of us have been blind too long, and I'm talking about physical blindness. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. Or other kind of blindness. We don't see things that we might be doing that are hurting people. We don't see it. We're blind to it. You see, friends, when you're desperate, watch this now, and you've got nothing to lose, you're going to shout. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he healed me, how he delivered me, how he touched me, how he filled me, how he redeemed me, how he forgave me, makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I got to shout. You've touched me. Listen, friends, you don't care how hot it is outside when you're desperate. You don't care if the pews don't have any padding. You don't care if you got to travel 10 miles to get to a place. When you're hungry for God, it doesn't matter the circumstances, doesn't matter the conditions, doesn't matter who's there or who's not there. You don't care what's going on. My friends, your mother might not be able to help you, your brother might not be able to help you, your father, but I know someone who can. Can you shout out Jesus? Can you shout out Jesus this morning? Life lesson number three. Are you ready for this? Life lesson number three. Sometimes God's no, listen, is not rejection, it's redirection. It seemed like Jesus wasn't listening to him. No, don't disturb me. I've got business to do. But that wasn't the case at all. God was going to bring him into alignment. But let me go deeper. Sometimes when we're praying, we're asking God, and there's delays in our prayer lives, or we don't get the answer right away, and we don't understand. Hold on, friends, because God is not saying no. God might be spending time redirecting your life into the path he wants you to take. And that's a process. That takes time. God doesn't always answer us the way we want God to answer us, but aren't you glad he answers us the way he wants it to be answered? Can you imagine if God gave you everything you've asked for? Think about it. Can you imagine everything you prayed for came to pass, and you're just asking and you're thinking in the natural way, the natural way, then I'd be married to the wrong person. I would have never met Nadia. I would have never had the three gorgeous girls that I have. Because God didn't answer the prayer I wanted him to answer. See, we don't see those things. We don't fully grasp them. God has a delay in your life, or there seems to be a no, there's a reason for it. There's a reason. And so Jesus didn't stop at first. He had to be in Jerusalem at a certain time. He had to work against the Sabbath, and Jesus couldn't afford to be late. So the first time Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus kept walking. But when blind Bartimaeus kept on shouting, that means he had faith to believe. This is my moment, Bartimaeus is saying. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me, Jacob said. It means he understood this could be the last time that Jesus would be passing by this way, because Jesus was on his way to the cross. And it would be the last time. You will never see Jesus passing by the Jericho Road again. But Bartimaeus didn't know that. He just had passion and hunger to cry out as if it would be the last opportunity he will ever get. The last opportunity. So this is my moment. This is the God, you've got to touch this. Can't let you go now, Lord. I've been through too much. I've seen too much. I've got to get off my routine. It's just stifling me. I need a break. I can't do this anymore. I can't. See, friends, if Bartimaeus didn't get it right now, we wouldn't be preaching this story. Now I see something. You know, as I was looking at this, I saw this helps me to see something. This helps me to see every time I go to church, every time I'm watching Facebook or reading my Bible, or I should be reading and going to church with some kind of expectation, because I don't know if I'm going to be in church again. I don't know what holds tomorrow. Whatever I do, I got to do it with expectation. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it because I don't know. This could be my hour. This could be my moment. I'm not going to go to church and just go, oh, here's another. I'm tired of doing this in church. I'm tired of routine. I got to go to church with expectation. I've got to go to church believing that this could be the day that the Lord will open my eyes. Did not David say in Psalm, I believe it's the 62nd, my expectation comes from God? That's just for free. You can take it. There was a time we used to come to church expecting to meet with God. Today we come to church and can't wait to leave. It interferes with my lunch time for some of us. You see, friends, I believe, watch this now, if I don't get it this morning, that's the kind of spirit. If I come to church and I don't receive that meal I'm looking for, spirit, Lord, if I don't get that, If we don't have that kind of anticipation, I promise you, brothers, over a period of time, this is what's going to happen to you. It's just going to be routine week after week, month after month, year after year. Everything is about your attitude. So I got to ask you, how do you come to church? How is your heart? Are you opened? It's amazing how two people come to church and one person, the worship was horrible. And someone said, wasn't that the greatest moment? I was crying out tears. Why? It's the same songs. Oh, I can't stand that sermon. It's too long and it's too this and it. Someone says it wasn't long enough. What's the same sermon? Oh, I'm not being fed in that church. And that other person can't wait to get to church and takes his paper and pens and writes all the notes you can imagine. What? Same sermon? Attitude. Hunger. Perspective. Bartimaeus was hungry. He needed a breakthrough desperately. He needed God to come to. This was my moment. Jesus is passing by. I was thinking of Luke 13. I'm thinking of that woman that was bent over by Satan. The Bible, she had a certain scoliosis. 18 years, she's walking like this. 18 years. But listen, folks, for 18 years, she went to the synagogue Saturday after Saturday. 18 years, the Bible kept going to church, if you will. Saturday after Saturday. 18 years, believing, hoping, but she kept going. She wasn't healed one day, but never know, the next day I could be healed. She wasn't healed on the third day, but never, maybe the next day, the fifth Saturday, the 100th Saturday, the 2,000 Saturdays. I don't know, but I'm going to keep coming, believing. And one day, one ordinary day, another disruption came, and there was Jesus, and the Bible says he turned to her. He saw her. That implies nobody else saw her. Because, you know, she was in church every day, so I see her every day. You know, it's no big deal. Aunt May's there, no big deal. But Aunt May came with faith, and Jesus turned. He saw something in her. There were a lot of sick people, but he saw something in her. He's the all-seeing guy, the omnipotent, omniscient guy. He saw God. He saw something in her, and he looked at her and said, "Woman! Thou art loosed." Just an ordinary day through an extraordinary woman. Friends, do you know that there's a shout that makes God stand still? George, can you give me my title again? The cry that stopped God. Listen, when Bartimaeus screamed out, he literally arrested Jesus. He stopped him dead in his track. Somebody touched me. When Jesus is on his way to Jairus' daughter to heal his 12-year-old daughter, all of a sudden the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment. And Jesus turned to her and wait a minute. Somebody touched me with faith. But Jesus, there's a lot of people, the Bible says, that were touching you. The throngs, they were all over you. But no, but somebody touched me with faith. Somebody is shouting with faith. Somebody's crying out in desperation. Somebody really needs me. Somebody wants to get out of the routine. Somebody wants to get out of religion. Somebody wants to get out of the status quo. Somebody's screaming. Somebody's come to somebody's calling on me. Call upon me, Jeremiah says. And I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things. Somebody touched me by faith. Oh, friends, I don't care what your schedule is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Are you able to give a praise that will get God's attention? Think about it. We got so many fabricated praise, so many fabricated amens. I know there's people when I'm preaching, they'll say amen, and I'm looking at them, and I might say, did you know what I said? No, but it sounded good. Amen. Fabricated amens. Fabricated worship. Fabricated preaching. Fabricated altar calls. Just routine, no heart, no passion, just something we do. But Jesus knows the difference. Can you praise him through your pain? Can you praise him on credit? Just because you know who he is. See, Paul believed that. That's why when he was in Acts 16, when he was shackled with chains, thrown into jail, beaten, the Bible says, through his blood and the pain, he lifted up his hands and he began to praise the Lord while he was in jail, shackled. What's your problem? What are you going through that's so bad that you can't praise him? The Bible says as Paul was praising him through his chains, an angel came, and the chains fell off as Paul began to worship God. Maybe sometimes your chains are so tightly embalmed around your wrists and your legs because you haven't praised him. And if you have praised him, it's just an artificial praise. You haven't really praised him like you mean it. When was the last time you got down and you began to thank God even though you didn't feel like it, even though you didn't see it? I'll tell you something. I believe that's what Bartimaeus did. He was able to shout out. He didn't fully understand things, but something inside of him, their hope began to rise up. Hope began to rise up. This is my last moment. This could be the last chance I'm going to cry out. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to trust him. And there he was, doing what seems to be unnatural, doing that causes the religious to get angry. Shut up, Barnabas! Don't stir things up here. We got everything figured out. We know exactly what to do. Don't shake up my routine. Can I be bold enough to say something? Do you mind? I get your permission, Mr. Board Member. When I first got here, I had two or three people say, Pastor Dino, you're shaking the root. We don't like this. I love you, man, but I'm sorry. Routine will only get you so far. Where are the radicals today? Where are the hungry today? Oh my God. You know, friends, some of us don't want to arrest Jesus because we just got our hair done. We don't want to arrest Jesus. We don't want to shout too loud because I just got my nails done. You know, I don't want to get too loud. I don't want to arrest Jesus. Yeah, I just bought a new suit, and you know, I gotta look dignified. I don't want to arrest Jesus. I don't want to get, you know, I just bought a nice fancy hat and I brought it to show, look how nice I look. I don't want my hair to get all disheveled and I certainly don't want to have my makeup run. I don't want to shed any tears. I don't want people to see. You'd be amazed how many people believe that. They'll never tell you though. They'll never tell you. But it's the truth. But if you want a breakthrough, and you're hungry, and if you need a healing, you need deliverance, you need some yoke to be destroyed. You don't care who you're sitting beside. You don't care how hot it is in here. Oh, I can't go. It's too far. You know, too far. There's no, if you really need to. Do you know what you do because you want things? Do you know the extra mile you do for natural things? We travel 20 miles sometimes to go to a restaurant that we like. We'll travel across the universe to go to a nice vacation spot that we like. We'll spend money that you don't even have because you like it. And you're telling me it's too far to go to church? I'll tell you why it's too far to go to church. Because this is what your problem is. You got it all down pat. You're in a rut. And the fire's not there. That's why it's too far. That's why it's too hot. That's why it's inconvenient. But if you loved it, it wouldn't be inconvenient at all. I know people that wake up 3 o'clock in the morning so they can go fishing. 3 o'clock in the morning so they can go fishing. And not just once in a while, maybe twice a week. The problem is we're not hungry. We're not desperate. We're not blind enough. We're not hurting enough. I just wonder if we were. Oh, my friends, it's time to holler. It's time to scream because I believe Jesus is passing by. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who I'm speaking to on Facebook. I don't know who it is out there, but I know that somebody's got to scream. Yeah. You've got to stop letting the enemy close your mouth. Oh, the tragedy of the closed mouth. We're so refined. We got to keep our mouth shut. We don't want to offend anyone. Oh, my friends, you got to stop allowing the enemy to keep you in a corner. No. I've got to reach out to Jesus. I need a breakthrough. I've been in the corner too long. And how did Jesus respond? The Bible says he marveled. He marveled. Your faith has made you. He healed him, just like he marveled at the man, that centurion who was a non-Jew. He marveled at their faith and he healed them. He marveled at their faith. That means he didn't marvel at other people's faith. Why did he marvel at this woman's faith, this man's faith? These people were simple people, but he marveled at their faith because the others should have known better, but they didn't. Let me ask you, does Jesus marvel at your faith, at my faith? I've got to ask you, does Jesus marvel at your faith? My friends, it's time to shout. We are living in dark days. We need a revival, I honestly believe, more than ever before. I don't know exactly what revival is going to look like. I can't comprehend it. My mind's been shattered as far as understanding what revival is going to look like. But I know that we need it. Whatever it does look like, Lord, just do it. Whatever it takes, Lord, do it. We need a move of God. We need our eyes to be open. Oh, friends, are you going through something? Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a breakthrough of any sorts? Stop crying out to Sister Joyce or Brother George. As I did on Instagram, put down that phone of yours and go to the throne. That's where the answer is. I'd like us to stand, please. I'd like us all to stand. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. But I know the Lord has given me this message for a reason, for such a time as this. COVID does not mean you have to have a closed mouth. COVID does not mean you have to walk by fear. Put COVID aside for a moment. Anything else in your life, doesn't matter what it is. Jesus is passing by. You see, Jesus, the truth is, he's always passing by because the Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. That means he's always passing by. The question is, are you, Jesus, have mercy on me? Are you doing that? See, that's the question. We're going to sing a chorus and then I'm going to pray. I'd like us to worship, just allow the words to go deep into your heart, the message, and then we're going to If you worship them, we're just going to pray. But you sing along and worship with an open heart. Just, and as you're worshiping out there in Facebook or here in the congregation, just cry out to God. If you're in a need of whatever it is, I'd like you to cry out to God. Say, God, have mercy. God, hear us.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your seat again. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have
every voice say it again.
Lord, I give you.
You know exactly how many steps, how long, how far, how much time. I want to speak to those who are not flexible, set in your ways. Blessed are the flexible, for thou shalt not be bent out of shape. You're not flexible. It's got to be this way or forget it. I want to talk to those who got everything figured out. I want to pray for those who have kept things inside and there's a silent scream that nobody hears, that you shout when you're all alone because you don't want anybody to hear you scream. Time to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. If I'm speaking to you by the Spirit, through the Spirit, I want you to pray with me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It doesn't matter if I know it or don't, that's not the issue. This is between you and God. Father, I pray for every silent screen that's in this room, that's listening and viewing over Facebook. The pain that's so deep, but we've kept it covered. We've concealed it. Because we don't want anybody to know. But you know. I pray for those that are hurting, that need a healing, Lord. I pray for those that have yokes that need to be broken, habits that need to be broken. I pray for those who are in toxic relationships but they can't let go because they're in a rut. They know every step. They're scared to break through because maybe, just maybe, they won't find another person. So let me stay true to my routine. I pray for everybody, Lord, who's standing in a corner begging for something they think they need. but it's much deeper. I pray, Lord, you would touch the hearts of your people today. That during this time of COVID, that something powerful will rise up within every believer. That something powerful will rise up within this church and those that are viewing on Facebook. Lord, you will shatter religiosity and shatter routine and give us a fresh revelation of who you are. A fresh revelation of your presence and of your love. That you are the healer. That you are the way maker. That you're the deliverer. That you are able to do what no man can do. Give us insight, Lord. The insight of Bartimaeus, even while he was blind, to call upon your name. That's why he was able to see. Give us eyes to see today. As you gave Lydia, open our understanding, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. Give us eyes to see you clearly. Help us this day. And set us free, we ask.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
Give up, even if you think he's passed by. Keep shouting his name. Keep shouting his name. Amen. God bless you all. Pastor Julia, if you can come, please.
Hello. Please remain seated, and please, if everybody could sit down. Thank you. A blessing to see everyone again today. Thank you for coming. Thank you, those online, for being with us as well. May God's love continue to bless you and guide you through these times. Talk about change. We're talking about change today, seeing all of you with the face mask and everything. And thank you for cooperating and helping us through this time. And we do have to put some sort of things in place, and I thank all of you for helping us with this. So we're gonna release everyone now, but we're gonna do it in an orderly manner. And the way we do it is from back to front, starting with the sides, the overflow as well. Because of the weather today, and I've been monitoring it, we usually, block off an entire section at the back for fellowship. But I've been seeing that even with the sun, it's raining sometimes, even though it might not look it. So we're not doing that today. So we haven't blocked off the back section for fellowship today. But as you're leaving, greet one another to outside when you're going to the cars. Bless each other and greet each other in fellowship as the Lord has encouraged us to do. So thank you for coming. All right, ushers, are we ready to release everyone? Okay, the people at the back in overflow in the last row, you can go now.